good song. And it's just above the albums. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Philippians. We're going to be, last week we began to talk about Timothy and Paul, and we talked about Timothy's relationship with Paul and what Paul did for Timothy and how he continued to pour into him, how he continued to mentor him, disciple him, and helping him understand what it meant to live for the Lord. We went back through 1 and 2 Timothy, which are letters that are written to Timothy from Paul, encouraging him in his life and reminding him that God had called him to a high calling and that he should continue on in doing those things. The things I want to remind you about Timothy is that Timothy genuinely was interested in the affairs of the church. Timothy cared for the people. He wanted to see the people grow, and he wanted to see them prosper in their faith. And so Timothy was all in. He sought things, sought the things of Jesus and not himself. Okay? He didn't seek his own interests. He sought what Jesus wanted for his life. If Timothy could have a What Would Jesus Do bracelet, I believe that he would. Him and Paul both. That was probably a question that they asked themselves many times. What would Jesus do in this situation? How should I react to this today? And the other thing about Timothy was that Timothy was committed to service. He was committed to serve Paul, but he was also committed to serve the church. He was willing to give his life. He was willing to go into dangerous situations with Paul. He was willing to go and visit Paul in Rome, which was a dangerous situation. And he did all of that, not for his own glory, but he did it because of what the Lord did in his life many, many years ago. We talked about how Timothy was raised up by his grandma Lois and his mother Eunice, and I think I've got that right, and how they started this faith in him early on and taught him many, many years ago. And then when Paul got into his life, he kind of let that blossom and let that grow. And so last week, we talked about Timothy and his faith and how he continued to make way in Paul's ministry and his own ministry to the church. And we talked about in Philippians how Timothy was there to minister to Paul. But there was another guy there that you probably, maybe some of you have never even heard of. And you probably won't ever hear of him again unless you're in Philippians, because that's the only place that he's mentioned. But he is just as important, I believe, as Timothy. He had the same servant's heart, and I want to talk about him today. And he comes from the church of Philippi, and his name was Epaphroditus. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Epaphroditus? We're going to learn today. Yes, sir. All right. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 and following. We're going to go through this and break this down today. Epaphroditus, just kind of give you a little bit of background. We might double up on this a little bit, but that's okay. Epaphroditus was sent from the Philippian church to Paul in Rome while he was in prison, and he was sent there to bring him a money offering, a love offering. So the church of Philippi took up some money to send to Paul, because remember, Paul is on house arrest, but he has some freedoms. It's a weird situation, but he's also chained to a guard, but he still has got to live and eat and stuff like that. And so the church takes up a love offering to send to him. They put that love offering in the hands of Epaphroditus and sends him on the way to see Paul. Well, before Epaphroditus can even get to Paul, he gets deathly ill. I mean, like super sick, almost dies. And so he has to stop his trip to Rome and gets better and healed. The guy almost dies on his way there. He gets better, and then he goes and he sees Paul and he brings all this stuff to Paul. Meanwhile, some word had gotten back to the church at Philippi that Epaphroditus almost died on his journey, and so they were worried about him. Paul knew that he was coming, and Paul was worried about him, and so that's kind of where we find ourselves today. As Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, explaining all these things to them and what has happened and why he is sending Epaphroditus back to them. Because originally, Epaphroditus was sent to be kind of a minister to Paul. As he was in a prison, he was there to, first off, bring the money and bring the things that Paul needed, but to serve Paul in whatever way that he needed. And then he was also there to just, you know, basic ministry, to take care of his needs and whatever he might have as he is there in prison. And so we pick up in verse 25, where Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, telling them why he's sending them back. And so we're just going to read 25 and finishing the chapter there. It says this: "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed, he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you." Talking about the church of Philippi. "Receive him then in the Lord with all the joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me." I want you to see and understand here that Epaphroditus is being sent back to the church of Philippi. Two reasons: because he had fallen deathly ill, and the church was worried about him, and Paul didn't want to stress out the church of Philippi, so he sends him back to them. It's not that there's some speculation as to why maybe Paul and Epaphroditus get along, but it's all speculation. And so what we can draw from the scriptures is that the church was concerned about him, and so Paul is sending them back to him with good report. And so that's where we pick up. But I want you to see how Paul describes Epaphroditus. Because many see this and they go, well, the guy failed. The guy didn't even make it to Philippi and got sick and almost died. So, you know, he kind of failed, right? That's not the case. When you read what Paul writes about him, he writes about a man who is a brother and a fellow worker and a fellow soldier. And these descriptions emphasize a partnership by employing familial, vocational, and military terms. Each of them provides insight to how Paul saw the work of the gospel. Epaphroditus was an equal. There was no hint of inferiority or failure. Understand that. In verse 25, what Paul writes there about Epaphroditus is that he is a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, that even though sickness had befallen him and that he almost died on the way, that he shouldn't be looked down upon, that he was doing the work of Christ when this happened. And so not to look at this as a failure that Paul is sending Epaphroditus back to them, but to look at it as this man went when he was called to go. This man had a servant's heart. And Paul mentions in the last part of chapter 2, he mentions both Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy and Epaphroditus both had what we like to call a servant's heart. They were willing to go. They were all in, and they were willing to do whatever the Lord had called them to do for the glory of his kingdom. And they put themselves aside, and they served because of what Christ had done in their lives. And so Paul uses this to the church of Philippi as he writes this letter as an example of how we should live. And how we should have this servant's heart. You've got two different examples. You've got Timothy, who is just killing it, okay? I mean, he is doing everything that he should be doing. He's just on it. And he is good. And you see that, as we covered last week, how Paul talks about Timothy and how he says, there in verse 19, he says, "But I hope the Lord Jesus Christ has sent Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may encourage, so that you may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who would generally be concerned for your welfare." I mean, that's a high regard that Paul sends to the church of Philippi about Timothy. And then you have Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus meant well. He was going on his way to go to Rome. And you got to understand something. For these folks to go to Rome to see Paul was a dangerous gig. It could cost them their lives if they slipped up, said the wrong things, or did whatever. Okay? And so this was a task that took some courage to go. And both Timothy and Epaphroditus made those trips multiple times. Timothy did. And Epaphroditus, on his way, got sick. The church of Philippi is worried about him, and so Paul is sending him back to them. Epaphroditus was supposed to be a gift from the church to Paul to bring the message of love and a gift for Paul, as we talked about earlier, that money offering, that love offering, and he was willing to go. He then was supposed to again stay there and serve Paul whatever needs that he might have. This act shows a self-giving character. That this young man, Epaphroditus, was willing to give him his own life and his own time to serve others. Now that's big, and I want you to remember that he would give up his own time of his own life to serve others. And when we look at the image of Christ, when we look at the example of Christ, that's exactly what Jesus did for us, that he gave up his own life, that he stepped down out of heaven onto this imperfect earth as a baby to grow up through, you know, we see baby Jesus and we see 33-year-old Jesus, but we don't talk about, except Stephen Curtis Chapman does, in one of his songs, talks about the teenage Jesus. And so Jesus steps down out of perfect heaven where he is sitting on his throne to be a baby, then to be a toddler, then to be a teenager with, I don't know, maybe, you know, some acne or whatever, and maybe his voice was squeaky, I don't know. But he went through that whole life, and we forget about that he lived 33 years on this world, in this world, in order to accomplish the goal. And so Jesus gave up his godliness, I should say, gave up his spot in heaven for now to step down into this earth to serve others, to serve you and me, to sacrifice himself for others. And so he is the prime example that we should follow, but also that Epaphroditus and Timothy and Paul, for that matter, are following. They have servants' hearts because they place the needs of others above themselves. And folks, that's how we should live. We should be looking out for others. We should be taking care of others each and every day. And the reason why we do that, again, is because Christ is our example. Because of what he has done for us. Serving is a way of showing others the love of Christ. In verses 26 through 28, Paul gives reason why he is sending Epaphroditus back. And so in 26 through 28, again, he says this. He says, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed, he was sick to the point of death, and God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that you will see him again, and you may rejoice. I may be less concerned about you. So you've got on both sides your double concern. The church of Philippi, Epaphroditus was concerned about the church of Philippi, and Paul was concerned about Epaphroditus and Philippi, and so you've got this constant circle of other people caring for other people and wanting to make sure that other people are better off. And it's just a circle of continued care. Okay, and so Paul sends Epaphroditus back, first off, because he was severely sick. But the other thing was, he was concerned about the church of Philippi. He didn't know, he didn't want to cause them any stress. He didn't want to cause them any concern about Epaphroditus. And so he sends him back. And so, you know, he also wanted to keep Epaphroditus from worrying too much about the church of Philippi. And so he sends him back, and Epaphroditus, being the selfless guy that he is, he goes, and he goes back to the church, and he goes back to make the journey, even though he made that entire journey over to Rome, got sick, almost died, was there to do a job, and Paul turns around and sends him back. He's willing to go. It's not what was planned. And folks, if you've ever been on a mission trip, if you've ever done any kind of disaster relief work, you will understand real quick that sometimes things don't pan out the way they should. But if we trust in the Lord and we know that we're there for a reason, we're there to serve, and God's going to open some really cool doors. I've been on some mission trips and some disaster relief call-outs that we were supposed to do one thing, that got changed because of weather or whatever, and then God opened another door for us, and we were willing to go. We were selfless in going. We wanted to honor the Lord, and we prayed that he would open some other doors elsewhere, and he did that for us. So Epaphroditus had a plan. The church of Philippi had a plan. They sent him. He got sick. He almost dies. Paul sends him back because he's worried about the church. He's worried about Epaphroditus. And he wants them to know that he is well. Epaphroditus is kind of the pastor, if you will, for the church of Philippi. They sent him to take care of Paul the apostle. And so they care deeply for him. A missionary, if you will. And so Paul sends it back, but he sends it back, and in verses 29 through 30, he says, listen, he commands honor for Epaphroditus. He says, listen, I understand that he was supposed to do this job, and he got sick, and he almost died, and he was a short period of time, and it's caused worry for you all, but I want you to understand that we were to honor men like Epaphroditus. Even though the job that he was sent to do wasn't, it didn't really pan out the way it should have, that we had hoped, he still was serving the Lord in all that he did. Epaphroditus was willing to go, and through his sickness, when he got better, he continued on his trip to go see Paul. And now as he's coming back, he reminds him in 29 through 30, he says, listen, he says, receive him in the light with all joy and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Listen, folks, as we go out and we serve the Lord, it isn't always going to be like, and the only thing I can, you know, it's like a Billy Graham crusade where thousands upon thousands of people come down and receive the Lord. Sometimes it's not going to be like that. Sometimes you're going to feel like it was a complete failure. Okay? I've been there. Okay? We had a plan, and when I was leading youth one time, that we were going to do vacation Bible schools out in the communities. And we were the church there was supposed to send out flyers. We were going to have BBS and all that. So I had kids trained. I had kids set up. We had snacks. We had games. We had everything ready for this community BBS. And we got one kid. One kid. I've got 20 students. What am I supposed to do with 20 students and one kid? But you know what? We served that one kid. And that one kid ended up being phenomenal. He poured into us as much as we poured into him. And it wasn't the outcome that we expected. And we were disappointed because we wanted to see kids come to Christ. And we wanted to see parents' lives change. And we wanted to see communities overflowing with the love of Christ. And it just didn't happen. But as I told our kids, don't get yourselves down. We're serving the Lord. We're willing. We're here. We're going to go knock on doors. We're going to go talk to parents. We're going to serve. And you know what? As we went out, we made plans, but as we went out and the Lord led us, we began to run into more and more people. We began to have more and more conversations door to door. And I can tell you now that our kids they're now graduating in college talked about that trip forever. Still to this day. Of what God did, even though our plans failed. And so even though Epaphroditus was supposed to be there to take care of Paul, to watch over him, to give him what he needed, he got sick and almost died and he went back, God was still glorified. Because Epaphroditus was willing to go. He had that servant's heart. He placed others above himself. He risked his life for Paul and for the love of Christ and for his church. Epaphroditus did what others could not or would not do. Folks, today, we've looked at these two men. We've looked at Timothy, and we've looked at Epaphroditus, and we've looked at both of their hearts and both of their ministries and how they both went out, and they both had different experiences. But the common thread for both of them is that they were serving the Lord, and they were willing to go, and they were willing to serve. That is the heart that we are after. That's the servant's heart that I want to encourage you to have this morning. This selfless servant's heart. It's not about you, but it's about serving the Lord. And I know that we have these great and glorious dreams and we should shoot for the stars, but sometimes it's not always going to work out the way that we've planned, but we must trust in the Lord. We must know that God is on our side and that He is ready and willing to help us. But we just have to seek Him in those times and ask Him what it is that we should be doing and how should we change and how should we should work. Both men went to great lengths to do the will of the Father and advance the gospel. We need more people. We need more people to answer the call to serve the Lord. We have thousands of missionaries all over the world. Currently, as we speak, the Missouri Baptist Disaster Relief Task Force 1 has been deployed, and they are on their way to North Carolina. For those of you that don't know what the Missouri Baptist Disaster Relief is, they answer in the time of disaster, and they go, and they set up in this disaster relief, this command center that's going to the task force, they're going there to set up shop. And what they're doing there is they're going to go in They're going to get communications up, and they're going to get ready to serve this community. And I can tell you from the very minimal experience that I have with disaster relief is that it doesn't always work out the way that you have it planned. And so you've got to be willing to move. You've got to be willing to do whatever that is asked of you. And to do disaster relief work, you have to have a selfless heart, because it's not about you. Because sometimes you go without a shower. Sometimes you work all day long. But the bottom line is that it's about these others that have been affected by the storms. I want you to hear these words. We're talking about the Missouri Missions offering, and that Missouri Missions offering goes to support these disaster relief. These people that, mind you, are volunteers that take time out of their lives to go and to help others. That is a selfless heart. Disaster relief numbers, it looks something like this. Over 1 million volunteer hours last year were served. 3 million plus meals were prepared. Disasters. 70,000 plus showers were provided. Folks, I don't know if you've ever been in a disaster, if you've lost everything, or if you've just, maybe you, I know a lot of you have worked all day long and you've been sweaty, nasty, gross, you got grime and grease and everything else on you, and nothing is better than a nice hot shower. And folks, that is just one of the ministries provided by the disaster relief crew. Not only that, but 32,000 plus loads of laundry disaster relief has done as they've been out across this country doing disaster relief work. Again, shower and fresh clean clothes, oh my gosh, open a door to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. I mean, come on, we're feeding your belly, we're making you dry, we're giving you clean, and then 4,200 plus gospel presentations were made. And not only that, but 800 professions of faith happened last year as our disaster relief crews went out and served. And I am honored to be a part of that, to be trained and to know I have good friends. You all had Pastor Dwayne Carter here for a long time, and he's in Texas now with the Texas Baptist Men Disaster Relief. But that is a calling for a servant's heart, because it's not about you. Okay, the couple trips that I've been on, we slept in Sunday school rooms. We slept on hard floors, and sometimes we got a shower, sometimes we didn't. We always were fed, because let me tell you, Baptists know how to feed you, okay? They are, the mass feeding groups are phenomenal, and they roll in there, and they do an awesome job. I want to point you back, to wrap this up, to Philippians 2, 3 through 8, which we studied a couple weeks ago. It says this, and this is the heart that you have to serve, not just in disaster relief, but as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to have this servant's heart. And so in Philippians 2, 3, it says this, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Folks, as we read that passage, something that we should meditate on daily, because what we want in this life is to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must remind ourselves that it's not about us, but it's about serving others. And the reason we serve others is to open those opportunities to tell people about what Paul talks about in the last part of this verse, is that Christ, even though he was God, did not consider him equal with God, that he emptied himself, he came down to this earth, he died on the cross for our sins, so that others could live in eternity with God. Because we cannot be in the presence of our Lord with sin in our lives, because it is a grotesque. God can't, it doesn't work, because God is perfect. And so there had to be something that covered over those sins, that not just covered those sins, but erased those sins, and that was Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. He emptied himself. He stepped down out of heaven under this not-so-perfect earth, and he lived that life from 1 to 33, and he died on the cross. A shameful death. But he died for you and for me. And when he died on that cross, he took our sins. His blood covered those sins, erased those sins, and paid the price in full. And we are called to live for Him each and every day, selfless. Meaning we're not caring about ourselves, we're worried about others. We want to help others, we want to serve others. Timothy and Epaphroditus both had servants' hearts. Two different outcomes, but both were willing to go. And I want you to see this morning as we compare those two, that sometimes you just, I'm going to call Timothy a rock star, because Timothy just does it, man. God blesses that, and he just does well. And he has some failures,